being recorded.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Kolinsky. Thank you for all of those introductions, and it's really a tremendous excitement to be able to come back to Yeshiva in whatever form we are, and to be able to start the Zman. And I just thought maybe we would borrow a little bit from a sugya in the first parak of Pesachim, not necessarily the fundamental sugya, which, God willing, everyone will be starting tomorrow, but a sugya that is in the first parak, and that will give us a little bit of a framework and a little bit of a mentality, perhaps, for the new Zman and for Elul specifically. The Gemara in the first parak of Pesachim, on Daf Vav, tells us that there is an obligation of Shol and Udarshan, that we have to look into, we have to consider and expound the issues of the Yontif before the Yontif, and how exactly that is set up, what exactly is the time period, is a discussion in the Gemara. Ultimately, we conclude that it should be Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. 30 days before the Yontif, we are supposed to be Shol and Vidarshan, that this is an innovation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so that's an idea that we have, that we don't wait until Yontif actually starts, but we start considering and expounding and asking questions about and learning about the various topics of the Yontif in advance. It's interesting, though, that there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in Gemaras as far as how exactly that is set up, because the Gemara, in the very end of Maseches Megillah, and Daf Lamed Beis, the very last lines of Maseches Megillah, there you find it's a different time period. The Gemara talks about Hilchos Chag B'Chag, and again attributes this to Moshe Rabbeinu, and there that sounds like our obligation of focusing on the Yontif and learning about it is only on the day itself, only on the Yontif itself. So this seems to be somewhat of a tension. If we're told that there is this obligation and that it starts at a certain point, so it makes a difference. When does it start? Is it a month before? Is it the day of the Yontif itself? And you find that there are a number of different approaches, and that if we look to the Rishonim and the later Sfarim, there are different ways of resolving whether these Gemaras are in sync with each other. Are they talking about the same thing? Are they talking about perhaps different obligations? That's something you can find different approaches to, different paths in the Rishonim. So, for example, it sounds like from some of the Rishonim and from some of the later Sfarim that really when we talk about a month before, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, so that's an obligation to learn about the halachos, to learn about the themes and the rules and the obligations of the Yontif in advance. And the idea of Hilchos Chag B'Chag, that's talking about Kriyas HaTorah. Now, we know that we have an obligation of laning throughout the year. It's been a little bit stressed this year when the shuls were closed and we had to try to figure out how to connect to our obligation of Kriyas HaTorah, whether it was Shabbos or whether it was Yontif. Right now, my shul, we're involved in making up the Kriyas HaTorah of the Parshiyos that were missed. It's a very precious obligation that we have the public Talmud Torah through Kriyas HaTorah. So there are some who understand that when we talk about Hilchos Chag V'Chag, we talk about the concepts of the Yontif on the day itself, that's because there's an obligation of Kriyas HaTorah, Me'in Yono Shoyon, that we lane about the theme of the day. That's what the Gemara at the end of Megillah is talking about. And the Gemara in our parak, in Pesachim and Daf Vav, that's talking about learning about the halachos, getting into the details and the rules. It's a little bit difficult because the language is really the same in both places. You find Shol and Vidarshan also over there in the end of Megillah. And it's a tricky resolution, so it's still not necessarily satisfying to all of the Achronim, and there's a lot of other discussion as to how exactly to reconcile these two approaches. The Ran, in his commentary to the first parak of Pesachim, the Ran has an approach, the Rashba like this as well, that the idea is we're not necessarily talking about an active obligation when we say Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. The idea of 30 days before, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something we must be doing, but it refers to a certain background. It refers to a certain state. Now, we just got introduced to the Mashgichim and to the resources that a yeshiva provides. We know we have Sholim and Yeshivim. We have people whose job it is to be there to answer your question. And Rebbeim in general are there to answer your questions. And there is a halacha, which it's interesting, we're not really in this mindset so much, but there is a halacha of shoal ke'inyan, that there is a obligation to ask that questions that are in line with what's being learned, or at least during the sheer context. And the Ran suggests that when the Gemara says Shalom Darshim Kodem Achag, that what it means is that if a question is asked during this period of time, and it's about the Yontif, if within a few weeks before Pesach, a Talmud comes with a question about Pesach, so then he's considered to be Shoal Ke'inyan. He's considered to be asking the topic. You don't say, well, we're learning something else now. You can't ask about Hilchos Pesach. I'm holding right now in Bava Kama. I'm holding in Zvachim. Don't come to me with Hilchos Pesach. That when we're in that zone, when it's a month before, so then Hilchos Pesach is considered to be the Inyan. And some of the later Svarim, they expand this idea that there is a authority to control the agenda, to say, okay, now this is what we want to learn about. If the students say, we're interested in hearing about Hilchos Pesach during that time, during the month before Pesach, so they have a right to that priority because that's a reflection of this concept of Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. But that makes it sound like there isn't any active obligation. It's just a certain status that's relevant during this time, but it's not necessarily something that you have to actually do. But many understood that it's more than that, that it's not just that there is this background context, but that there is something the Gemara is telling us to do when it says Shoal and Vidorshin. There's an active responsibility, and in terms of trying to reconcile the two Gemaras, is it on the Yontif itself, or is it a month before? So there is an approach that some have that Bach and the Vilna Gaon and others, that the obligation is really on the Yontif itself, but it takes time. So therefore, we have to expand it as necessary. We have to start our Yontif obligation earlier, and we can't just wait until the Yontif actually starts, but we have to prepare in advance to fulfill that idea of Hilchos Chag B'Chag, the idea of studying the concept of the Yontif on the Yontif itself begins with a preparatory period before. There are others who do understand them as having different points of focus. So, for example, there is a sefer on Chanukah Megillah called Kuntres Chanukah Megillah. It was written by Rav Tertzin, who was a student of the Brisker Rav, and he's focusing specifically in the Purim context, because Gemara has this idea on Mesach Megillah as well, on Daf Dalet, in relation to the concept of Purim. There, the Gemara is talking about the fact that sometimes Purim falls out on Shabbos, at least in Yerushalayim. The 14th of Adar doesn't fall out on Purim on our calendars, but the 15th of Adar can fall out on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, we're not supposed to read the Megillah on Shabbos. That's an idea known as Gezeirah Derabbah, that even when it comes to Torah obligations, as we'll see this year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, and the first day of Sukkot is Shabbos, which leads to all kinds of fascinating discussions in Lumdus and Halacha. We don't blow shofar on Shabbos or take a lulav on Shabbos or read the Megillah on Shabbos because there is a concern that we may come to carry. So that affects our schedule this year. And the Gemara are talking about Megillah. So the Gemara says that we have to be Doresh on Shabbos, that is Purim. We have to be Doresh on the Purim, that is Shabbos. And in that context, so Rav Tertzin discusses how the drisha, how the expounding, can also take the place of the mitzvah, and he suggests that it's a function of persume nisa. In that context, Megillah, where there's an obligation of persume nisa, of publicizing the miracle, so that's what we're talking about. So before the Yontif, we try to learn the halachos, we need to know what to do, but on the Yontif itself, we want to try to publicize the themes, whether it's Purim, where we have an actual obligation of Pursum and Nisa, or whether it's the Yom Tovim and HaTorah, where we have themes that we want to know about. So therefore, not just through Kriyas HaTorah, but through other Shirim, other ways of trying to call attention to the themes and the concepts of the day, that's what this idea comes to reflect. And there are others who put the focus a little bit different, but maybe in a similar way. So for example, there's a Sefer Elohei Moadai. It's a great Talmud Chacham, Eliyahu Schlesinger, the Rav of Gilo. He wrote many Sfarim. It happens to be that he has many Shilas and Tshuvas, which actually have the title Shoal and Udorshin. It's already a nod to our topic. But in one of his Sfarim about Mohadim, a different sefer, Elohem O'Adai, so he talks about this dual obligation, and he suggests that kodem achag, we have an obligation to learn about the rules of the yontif. But on the chag itself, there's an obligation of Talmud Torah, like there is an obligation throughout the year to be involved in Talmud Torah. But there's an extra level that the Talmud Torah that we do on the yontif should call our attention to the themes of the yontif, that there's an extra kiyum that comes from learning about the yontif on the yontif itself, and that's perhaps what the Gemara is talking about when it says this idea of Hilchos Chag B'Chag. This notion that Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag triggers a certain obligation, kind of puts us in the zone, is a fascinating idea of just how far it goes. We find that this halacha of Shaul ben Udorshin is brought in Hilchos Pesach, our topic for this year, Maseches Pesachim, and it's the first halacha in Hilchos Pesach, in Shulchan Aruch, and Siman Tav Chav Tes. So that's what we start off talking about right away, that there is this concept of Shaul ben Udorshin. And the Ramah quotes over there that there is a minig of Moed Chitin, the idea that we gathered tzedakah for the purposes of Pesach, which the later commentaries explain is a necessary step to make sure that we can fulfill the obligations connected with Pesach together. Moed Chitin is a fascinating halacha which bridges the realms of Staka and the realms of Yantif. There's a lot to talk about. Hopefully over the course of the year of learning Pesachim, we get a little more exposure to this idea. But it triggers the zone of Pesach a month before, that that's what this halacha is telling us, that the halachos are now in effect, and the responsibility is now in effect. And more to the point of the first parak of Pesachim, you'll see, as you learn the sugyas of Bedikas Chametz, that there are halachos of Bedikas Chametz that become relevant during this time, that as soon as you begin the period of a month before Pesach, we're already in the zone of Pesach, and therefore that sets the parameters for certain halachos regarding Bedikas Chametz. And it tells us that, in essence, the yontif is already in play. Now there is a fascinating tshuva in the Sfarim of Shlomo Kluger, who was a fascinating posek in Talmud Chacham in general. So in one of his tshuvos in the Sefer Ha'elos V'cha Shlomo, so he has the following scenario. You have to imagine more advanced technology for this description than he had at the time. But imagine you have a rav of a community who is there to answer questions from the community, and he gets two phone calls at the same time. He was writing this before there were telephones, but imagine he had two telephones, and the phones not only have caller ID, but they also have topic ID, so you can see what the callers are calling about. So let's imagine it's Purim. The Rav is in the middle of his Purim Suda, and he gets two phone calls on his two lines with topic ID. He can see that one phone call is about Purim, and one phone call is about Pesach, because 30 days before Pesach is Purim, so he's already getting questions about Pesach Purim time. So Shlomo Kluger discusses this question, which call should he answer first? Should he take the call about Purim first, or should he take the call about Pesach first? And in analyzing the question, so he discusses, so which one is more chamor? So Pesach is an obligation min ha-Torah, Purim is not min ha-Torah, how do you decide how to prioritize? Seems like a funny way to go about things, because maybe Pesach is more severe, is more chamor than Purim, but it's Purim right now. This is happening on Purim. Why wouldn't the question about Purim take priority over a question about Pesach? So what it shows us is it's not only that it's Purim now on that day, it's Pesach now. That day is Pesach, that a month before, even though it's still Purim, that has triggered already the zone of Pesach, and the obligations have already started. And therefore, what is relevant to know becomes an obligation, and it's ki'ilu with Pesach itself, because its obligations come from beforehand. Now this may be a theme that is particularly relevant to Pesach, and therefore it's particularly applicable for us this year. We're starting our preparations for Pesach many, many months early. We're going to give real attention to the extensive halachos that are connected to Pesach and make sure that we're really well prepared. It is a discussion whether this obligation is applicable to every Yontif or is it something that is unique for Pesach. The Beis Yosef quotes the view that this is only something that is applicable to Pesach because Pesach has all this extensive halachos. Many others assume that it's really relevant to other Yomim Tovim as well. As some point out, it's hard to say that it's applicable only to Pesach because the Gemara proves the obligation of Shloshim Yom from something that was happening not regarding Pesach, but on Pesach. As the Gemara discusses, that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the halachos of Pesach Sheni on Pesach. So Pesach Sheni is a month after Pesach, and on Pesach, that's when Moshe was talking about Pesach Sheni. So that's where you get the idea of 30 days. And Pesach Sheni doesn't have all the halachos of Pesach. It's not as complicated as Pesach. That was also one of the questions that came up in this unusual year. Rav Schechter wrote a letter about this, about the question of if something was missed on Pesach because of a pandemic situation. If somebody wasn't able to fulfill certain mitzvahs of Pesach, so we assume that Pesach Sheni is a makeup in all senses of the word for Pesach, which really it isn't. It's really a much more localized concept. So the idea of preparing a month in advance is taught in the context of Pesach Sheni. So it's hard to say that it's something that's applicable only to Pesach. It seems like it's applicable to a greater degree when it comes to Pesach, because Pesach, as commentaries point out, Pesach not only has very complicated halachas, we're going to have to spend a whole year learning about them, and there'll still be more to say. Pesach has many rules and details, but also there are aspects of Pesach that by their very nature have to happen before Pesach, that we can't just walk into Pesach without any preparation. We won't be able to observe. We won't have matzah. We won't have a house that is free of chametz. We won't have kalim that we can use. So it's true that Pesach has unique considerations. Rav Bakshi Doron, Zichron of the Bracha, who unfortunately also passed away during the corona crisis, Rav Bakshi Doron has a number of tshuvas about this in his tshuvas Bin Yanav, where he suggests there's a special obligation of Pesach, but it's still something which, by its nature, should apply to other Yom Tovim as well, even if it's to a different degree. And it may be that nowadays our obligation is a little bit different. There are some who point out that nowadays we have many more halakha svarim. So it used to be that we didn't have svarim at all. We didn't have access to literature. So the Rav had to get up and give a drasha, Shabbos Shuvah, before Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and Shabbos HaGadol before Pesach, and tell everyone what to do. Nowadays, we have access to more information, and we don't necessarily have that same role for the Rav, but we also have a need for the themes to be on our mind and for us to be prepared mentally, and that's also a part of it, but the halachos as well, all of it, the whole package, to be prepared in advance is a part of the process. And it's fascinating that here, if indeed Pesach Sheni is really where this comes from in our Gemara and Pesachim, that Moshe was preparing for Pesach Sheni. So there, if we look at the details in the Torah, when it talks about Pesach Sheni, so it tells us about how the whole issue was provoked because there were those who were not able to bring the Korban Pesach on the proper date, because they were tamei meis, because they were involved in a mitzvah, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "Lama nigara, why should we lose out? Why should we be deprived of the Korban Pesach if we were involved in a mitzvah and we became tamei, so we weren't able to do the Korban? Why should we lose out?" And it was Gedal Yishor, it was the Rashi of Tar Vadas many decades ago, the Sefer Or Gedal Yehov. So he points out that it seems like a strange objection, that we know that sometimes we miss opportunities if we're not available at the right time, so we miss out. If the bus leaves before we get there, so we miss the bus, and we can't say, why should we lose out? But perhaps, he understands, the nature of the question was that maybe the fact that circumstances were such that we didn't get to bring the Korban Pesach, maybe it means there is something that was missing in us, that maybe there was some spiritual deficiency that we were responsible for losing out on this opportunity. And to that, the response is, no, you were involved in a mitzvah, you didn't do anything wrong, and you'll get this makeup opportunity, you'll get this chance to do it again. And it highlights the fact that we assume that there's a certain responsibility that we have for the opportunities that we want to take advantage of, that we have to be prepared, that we have to make sure that we are available and that we are ready when the circumstances present themselves. Otherwise, if we miss out, that's something that we may have some responsibility for. And that's what was embedded in this whole story about Korban Pesach, that maybe they thought they were missing something, maybe there was something that they did wrong, and they had to be reassured that no, there wasn't any spiritual deficiency here, and you'll have another opportunity. But it highlights, again, this obligation that we have of making sure that we're available and that we're ready and that we're prepared, and that that all is a part of the mitzvah. It's not something that happens before the yontif as a separate obligation, but it's something that is embedded in the mitzvah itself. It's something that is a part of our obligation of Pesach, of whatever yontif we're talking about, to make sure that we've put in the effort to prepare. And if we do assume, as is likely, that this is relevant not only to Pesach, but to all the Yom Tovim, each to its own degree and each to its own nature, so then that's very much where we're at right now. That here we are, now less than a month before Rosh Hashanah, it will soon be a month before Yom Kippur, and then a month before Sukkot. We are in a time right now where we are very much in the zone of the obligations of Tishrei. And the mitzvos are now in effect upon us. Sfardim already starts to say Slichos during this time. The core theme of the mitzvah of tshuva, which animates these Yom Tovim of the Mehadin and of Sukkot as well, which is an expression of tshuva, it's also a part of the tshuva season in very crucial ways. So all of this is in effect right now, and it becomes even more present to us, our obligation to recognize that tshuva is an active process, and it's something that we have to engage fully. How do we engage it fully? So there are different levels of tshuva. The Gemara tells us in the end of Yuma that there is a notion of tshuva meira, the tshuva that is motivated by fear, that we're running away from the mistakes of the past, but there's also a tshuva me'ava, there's a tshuva of love, that we embrace a more positive future. And how exactly that tshuva me'ava is performed isn't really spelled out in the earlier sources, but many achronim quotes from Rav Aaron Kotler and others that tshuva me'ava is performed through Talmud Torah, that Torah study, our desire to try to seek out the wisdom of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the most passionate way possible, that's an expression of Avas Hashem, and that's what we mean when we talk about Tshuva Me'ava. So we are now starting Elulzman. We have this month to work on Tshuva and to Tshuva Me'ava, to work on learning, to work on re-engaging with the Beis Medrash, even if it's a virtual Beis Medrash, but we're now connected to each other after a long delay, and we're able to use the technology and the initiative and the creativity of the yeshiva staff to be back in the Beis Medrash in as many senses as possible, even though we're not physically in the Beis Medrash. So we're able to embrace this mitzvah of Tshuva Me'ava in anticipation of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot in a very powerful way. We'll do that through learning about Pesach, through learning about Pesachim, and learning about everything else that will be made available to us during this time. But it is a kiyum in this idea, this mitzvah of the first parak of Pesachim, of Shaul and Adarshan, of seeking to understand and to explore what the themes of Yontif is. And we recognize that that's not just a practical obligation of doing mitzvos and not doing averos, but it's about creating a personality. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that a part of the obligation of tshuva is tshuva for midos, of creating a certain personality and an attitude and a set of character traits that is conducive to further growth. And contemporary psychologists have a notion that you can create a new habit in 30 days. That's probably more of an average. It could be less than that. It could be more than that. But on the average, it takes 30 days to create a new habit. So the month of Elul, the 30 days before the Zman of Yomei HaDin and Yomei HaTshuva, is a time when we can create new habits, new attitudes, new personality traits, and the Beis HaMedrash, the virtual Beis HaMedrash, whatever it is our conduit to do that. So I welcome you to this exciting new Zman. so many different things that we can take advantage of. And as we look to our limud of the first parak of Pesachim, in so many different ways, it's an emphasis of this idea that we seek to actively prepare ourselves for the experiences that we will be blessed to have. And through that preparation and through that active focus and engagement, we maximize these experiences, and we make sure that the Yom Tovim and that every day throughout the year and every day in our Beis HaMedrash is everything that it can be. So just to quickly highlight the key points that we spoke about, we noted that the Gemara tells us in our parak that we have to expound on the themes of the Yontif a month before. The Gemara in the end of Megillah says it's Tochus Chag V'Chag on the day itself. The conflict, perhaps, that the Rishonim and the Achronim talk about. We talked about some of the approaches, whether one is talking about Kriyas HaTorah and one is talking about in advance, or the way the Ran understood that one is just saying that we can ask questions in the previous month and it's not considered to be Shol Shelo Kenyan. But the idea that many others have, that it's an active obligation, whether it's an additional obligation of Pursumei Nisa, or of Talmud Torah that's focused on the day itself, or it's all one unit that expands earlier in order to give us enough time, one way or another, there is this obligation to be actively prepared. We talked a little bit about how Pesach may have unique demands, so we're going to be machmer this year and spend the whole year learning Pesachim to be very, very prepared, but the notion presumably is relevant to every Yontif, each to its own degree, each to its own way. And as we are now within this month before Rosh Hashanah and then Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so the obligation particularly of tshuva and of character growth is upon us in its full weight. And the opportunity to do tshuva me'ava, to a focus on growth through Talmud Torah, is now in front of us in a very powerful, very exciting way. And hopefully we'll all be able to take advantage of that and make sure that when we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yemei HaDin, we will be the most that we can be. I wish you all a fantastic Zman, and only Hatzlacha in every sense of the word.